From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Until the 19th century, Christmas gifts were not exchanged until January 6th to celebrate the gifts of the Magi to the Christ child. That was long before PlayStations, Black Friday sales, and holiday spikes in airfare. Despite all the reminders of the reasons for the season, the giving and gathering and holiday cheer can, for many people, be followed by months of credit card bills. A report from creditcards.com finds the average household credit card debt in Georgia to be the seventh highest in the country, while the state has the 19th lowest median income. So, without getting all Scroogey on you, we're going to turn to our favorite podcast for some Christmas spending reality checks. Matt Gorin is a financial educator and co-host of the WUGA podcast, Nothing Funny About Money, and is joining us from Athens. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks so much. So, Nothing Funny About Money, are we going to have like the sad trombone story here of Christmas?
Well, I'm sorry. You mentioned having the Scrooge version. I think I call myself a Scrooge. So
why?
If you were trying to avoid that, you shouldn't have had me.
Why on. Do you encourage your kids to go to the soup kitchen and help out and exchange homemade cards on Christmas? Is that what you do?
Well, I don't have children to do that to, but my focus really is more on those experiences like giving, certainly, and spending time with family and friends. More than giving gifts. I'm not so much of a gift giver.
Okay. So, all right. So we know that about you. But how about for other people who do buy gifts at Christmas? The conventional advice is you make a budget, you avoid using credit cards. Do you agree? I mean, what would you add to that?
I would add to that, maybe don't spend so much. Don't focus so much on giving such expensive gifts at all. If you're looking at the statistics on how much people are giving, we're now up to over $850 per year for the average American adult, and that's twice as much as it was just 10 years ago.
Well, there is a lot of stress, especially on parents, to give the toy of the moment or the pair of sneakers of the moment for their children. What do you hear from families who have had similar experiences and overspend?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's this feeling that you have to give gifts, and that's part of our overall culture. I think, as you're saying, it's also how we express love to our children. Are you a good parent if you don't get your kid all the expensive stuff that they want? That's hard.
Right. And have you run into people who say that, you know, they went into debt at Christmas and they were really struggling with it?
Yes, many. So a lot of the work that I've done here in Georgia, besides the show, is focusing on the needs of lower income people. So we've had seminars out in the community. We see clients for free here at the Aspire Clinic. And it's very common for people to say, I had to go into debt. I had to give my kids these gifts, thinking I'm going to get some money back from my tax refund, or I don't know how I'm going to get it back. I got to figure it out. But it's so important to show that you can provide and you want to give these things to your kids.
Well, that's part of the thing that I enjoy about the show, that money is it is layered with meaning. It gets construed with self-worth and love. It's emotional. How do you counsel people who are dealing with not just, you know, the balance in their checkbook, but there's so much else going on?
One of the big things we do is just talk to people, and that seems so obvious once you say it. Why are you spending this money? What are your goals? What are you trying to get out of this? And for a parent who's saying, I need to spend all this money because this is what my, this is what I want to provide for my kids. Well, do your kids actually want this stuff? Have you talked to your kids about what their big priorities are? And for some of these kids, what they might want is to see their mom and dad, to not have that parent feel like they need to work overtime or feel stressed out. They just want to hang out with you. And some of my fondest memories from when I was a kid is just playing football in the backyard with my dad. I wouldn't give up those memories for anything. I can't even recall what gifts he was buying me when I was a kid. That's all been forgotten. Hmm. But those experiences are going to stick with me forever.
Well, the messaging, though, for kids is pretty intense. And this is something you and your colleagues satirized in a little skit from your show, Nothing Funny About Money.
Hey, kids, I'm Bucky the cartoon character. Let's talk about spending money. Anybody here like candy? How about big old shiny toys? Boy, howdy. Did y'all watch that nice old television advertisement my employer recently aired during the Saturday morning cartoons? Boy, that's just super. We played on your fears of rejection while simultaneously arming you with the persuasive appeals necessary to separate your parents from their money. Anybody want some light-up shoes? Make sure to let Mommy and Daddy know. If they don't buy you the most expensive brand of merchandise, they don't love you. Now, who wants to go watch a movie sequel? All right, let's go.
You're bucking a pretty strong trend there, Matt Gorin. Are you concerned about the kind of messages kids get about spending?
I want to note that personal finance is very serious business. We don't mess around.
Bucky the Clown doesn't usually appear.
Yeah, we've now changed his title to Spokes Demon, so that should give you a sense of where our heads are at. I am kind of concerned about those messages, absolutely. That's why we included it in the show. If you haven't done this in the last few months or so, just watch a Saturday morning cartoon and check out some of those commercials that are now airing. I think a lot of parents might be surprised just how intense those ads are.
Well, haven't there been some movements, especially now that we have so many different online media and, you know, a lot of kids have little electronic devices that are communicating with them, even toys, you know, Barbie dolls, that kind of thing, to prevent those kind of messages to kids?
To the extent that there's some measures to block those things, to set up firewalls or parental controls, what every parent's also got to realize is their kids are at school, they're hanging out with their friends. By around age 10 or 11, parents take a step back from their kids' ideas about how the world works. Instead of parents, it's now their friends who are giving them the most information. So no matter what a parent's trying to do, if the other parents of these other kids aren't putting up those walls, their own kids are still going to be exposed to those messages.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's so much peer pressure. So how do you instill? You said, you know, ask kids if they really want this. But how do you help them grow up with a sense of value, I guess, especially, you know, in a world where there are probably a lot of people who are far less fortunate than they are?
My advice is to show, don't tell. If you want your kids to be less materialistic, less focused on what the new toy is, live that life yourself. If you're telling your kids you shouldn't want the new PlayStation or whatever, but then you're driving around in the brand new sports car, what message are you really sending to the kids? Hmm. They're going to see that toys are important, that buying these expensive things is important. They're not going to be modeling these other behaviors like giving, focusing on the family, and so on.
Well, of course, it's not just kids. You know, a lot of people have a lot of expectations around the holidays and Christmas giving, Hanukkah giving, that kind of thing. Give us a little bit of that history. When did this start happening? You know, the kind of materialism taking over Christmas.
It started, the first glimmers of it, as I understand it, in the middle of the 1800s. And that can be traced back to the origins of shopping malls and shopping plazas. So consumerism was starting to ramp up during the Industrial Revolution. And of course, once you've got all these goods hanging around, then people need to be told to buy all these things. But as far as the modern version of this, we really can trace it more to the 1950s, 1960s, really expanded the size of the middle class, the amount of consumer cash that people have available to them. They don't need to spend it so much on the house anymore. We had a very strong economy back then. Instead, we can spend it on gifts and on stuff. And so we did. And if you look at shows like Mad Men, I think that does a great job of showing the changing culture around that time. There's this idea in that show of tell people that they need something, create a need, and they'll follow suit.
I'm speaking with the financial educator, Matt Gorin. He's also co-host of the WUGA podcast, Nothing Funny About Money. But it's not just the consumers. Christmas shopping is the be-all and end-all for retail. Our economy depends upon it, doesn't it, or does it?
Well, about one-fifth of all retail sales happen during the holiday season. So when you figure how short of a period of time that is, that's really a substantial amount of money. I don't know that it goes so far to say we need Christmas shopping or we need holiday shopping to make our economy run, but it certainly helps.
Well, you talk about gift cards in one of your episodes. $1 billion of money spent on gift cards every year that goes unused. So there's all this pressure to deliver and to give something for Christmas, but these gift cards, people just forget about them?
They forget about them. They're to stores that people have no interest in actually shopping at. Sometimes gift cards can expire. So if you're thinking, I'm going to spend that money on that big purchase a year down the line, 2 years down the line, it might be too late. The money's already gone.
And just after Christmas, about 10% of all gifts are returned. That's about $70 billion worth of merchandise sent back to the stores. So if you could help people rethink Christmas giving or holiday giving, what are some of the ways that you would do that?
There's a few practical bits of advice I've got, and one of them is limit the number of gifts that you're giving. People don't need to give so many things. There's a movement that says you should only give your children 3 gifts because that's how many gifts the wise men gave Jesus in the manger. And then if you look at holidays like Hanukkah, there's 8 nights, maybe you only give 8 gifts over that period of time. Versus the alternative, when you don't set a specific number, well, maybe there shouldn't be a limit. How much do you love your kids? Well, infinite love translates into infinite gifts.
And how about when then your neighbor brings over a gift for you and you think, oh, no, I didn't get anything from my neighbor?
Yes, I run into that quite a bit. So
as a Scrooge, I imagine that happens.
Yeah, I tell people, don't give me stuff. And yet here I am, the recipient of all their generosity, the nerve of these people. What I try to do as a return favor is buy them a meal, bring them a bottle of wine as I go over to their house. Or when I'm buying gifts that allow us to spend time together, like board games or video games. The idea being, I'm giving you this, say, poker chip set, so that we then start playing poker together. It's not just something that you can have on your own. This is a way to increase our social interaction.
But this has been something I've heard about a lot, you know, the movement towards non-material gifts, giving the gifts of time, giving, you know, a gift certificate for doing an errand for somebody. Do you think people really appreciate that, or they see it and think, oh, there's old Scrooge Matt Gorin?
Yeah, the gift
certificate. You're not going to live this one down, apparently, Matt.
No, the gift certificate for, like, the back massage, that seems very tacky to me. I think people who've gotten one of those might agree with that. But on the flip side, let's have me just spontaneously treat you to a spa day where I'm, you know, doing the massage without you having to ask for it. I think other things like just making the effort to travel and meet people. So as an example, this Friday, I'm heading up to Chicago to spend time with my best friend up there. I don't think I'm going to bring a gift. Maybe I should do that. But I am spending a lot of money and a lot of time to make that happen and to spend time with him.
Well, travel is one of those things that adds up at Christmas time, especially, you know, if you've got a family of 4, family of 5, buying tickets for everybody, that costs a lot of money. Is that one of those holiday pressures that you advise people against?
One thing that I advise people on is to spend time with each other. But certainly if you travel around the holidays, particularly over airlines, it gets very expensive. And if you're looking for a hot tip, flying on Christmas Day is actually cheaper than flying on, say, Christmas Eve or the day after Christmas. So if you're willing to have a bit of a non-traditional holiday where maybe you celebrate Christmas on the 26th or you celebrate on Magi Day, I think you said, on January 6th, if you do it off that time a little bit, you might save thousands of dollars.
So what's it going to take, Matt, for your movement to give non-material gifts or gifts of experience or time to really take off, especially when you're bucking up against, you know, beautiful fall color Christmas display ads just about everywhere you look right now?
Well, I would hope that it's that I'm right. Can I say that? That people actually enjoy experiences more. They don't care about material goods as much. I think what's also going to happen is when we have another economic downturn, the shift is going to go away from materialism again. If you look at spending every single year on the holidays, it rises and falls pretty well with how well the economy is doing. That's why back in 2009, we spent half as much as we do now. When things get a little tighter, people tend to focus more on the cheap things, which often is the better stuff, like spending time with family.
In general, your advice to people about spending, I'm guessing, don't go into debt, save money. What are some suggestions you have before we close for how people can get better at saving and actually see the results of it in a way that is not just socked in the bank somewhere?
Certainly, as you said when we first started chatting, budgeting ahead of time can help. But I don't think many people like to budget. I don't think budgeting is for everybody. My preference is for people to set good habits. Start putting money away every single month into the savings account, even if it's only $10 or $20. That's better than nothing. Set these habits in motion without having to think about it. And over the long run, you're going to be that much better off.
And for year-end giving, this is something that a lot of people take advantage of. Is this the time to get that stuff together, or do you leave that until the week after Christmas?
Oh, gosh, when do I do that? 20 years ago? What did I do back then? I think that
good for
New
a tax
Year's,
write-off.
Yeah, New Year's is a good time to think about changing habits, to shift your gears a little bit. So if people want to wait until after the in-laws are out of the house and you can take a breather, sure, target this for something to do for New Year's. The idea, though, is to not have to keep thinking about this all the time. Set it and forget it. You'll have the money stashed away so that, hey, next year, if you do want to spend a lot on Christmas or on the holidays, you have the money there, and then you don't have to go into debt.
Okay, that's our resident ghost of Christmas, I guess, present and future, and financial educator, Matt Gorin. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Matt and Michael Gene Thomas are co-hosts of the WUGA podcast, Nothing Funny About Money. It's really terrific. We do advise you to subscribe, and we would love to hear from you. Do you feel pressured to go all out for holiday gifts, or are you giving time or homemade gifts instead, or bringing that bottle of wine over to a friend? You can tweet us. We're at OST Talk. You can leave us a voicemail. We're at 404-500-9457. That's all we've got for today. I'm Virginia Prescott. We'll be back again tomorrow with more on Second Thought.